Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
God, what do you want from me, my life in 2017? And I'm asking God to deal with areas in my heart that need change. Someone say change. And he has been speaking to me and just ministering to me that this year is the time to grow. Someone say grow. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. This is one of our promise scriptures. And I feel like I really need to minister to about this. Back in the 60s, when our founder, Pastor Sonny, had started the church, it was a small little church in East LA, and his vision was simply to develop a church for drug addicts and their families. And this was during a time when it was once a drug addict, always a drug addict. And he tells stories about how it was very hard in the first few years. He says that he would preach the gospel and he'd have a bunch of drug addicts and the offering would come in. There would be lint. He even says that one time he seen somebody put in money, but when the buckets came, the money was gone. Come on, somebody. And he talks about how it was very hard. But I tell you that story to tell you that it was about 5 years into the ministry, he was tired and he wanted to give up. Do you ever feel like giving up? And right when he went, he wanted to give up. One of his leaders took him to a conference, and it was there where evangelist Dick Mills came to him and gave him two scriptures. He gave him Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, and Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. The first one says, I will go before you and level the mountains and make the crooked places straight so that you may know that I am your God. Right? And it was God's way of telling him that God was with him. But secondly, he gave him this word. And this is what I want to preach to you because I think it's timely for where we're at and what God wants to do, not only in our ministry, but in our church. Isaiah 45, 2 and 3 says this: enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Someone say, don't hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Let me pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, be with me. Help me to communicate this word as you gave it to me. I need you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, later today, most of us are going to watch the Super Bowl. How many are getting ready for the Super Bowl? Amen. And this Super Bowl is going to be very, very interesting. I'm actually looking forward to watching it. Because this year, we're going to watch two of the NFL's best quarterbacks face off against each other. On one side, you have Matt Ryan, also known as Matty Ice. Because he comes in and they say he has ice in his veins. Because when his back's against the wall, he some way, somehow always comes out with the victory. Now, Matty Ice has been Atlanta's franchise quarterback since he was drafted in 2008. Matt Ryan was considered one of the best quarterbacks coming out of college. In 2008, he was drafted third overall in the first round. And in that same year, he was honored the Rookie Year Award, which is one of the highest accolades you can get as a rookie. He has been voted into several Pro Bowls. And last year, he took his game to a whole nother level, and they named him Offensive Player of the Year. This year, 2017, not only is he making his first Super Bowl appearance, but he was already titled NFL's Most Valuable Player. That's pretty deep, ain't it? So here you have this guy that everyone expected him to do this. When they drafted him, the Atlanta Falcons expected him to take them to a Super Bowl. Now, on the other side, you have Tom Brady from the New England Patriots. He's already been to six Super Bowls, and after today, he will go down in history as one of the only players to ever play in seven Super Bowls. Tom Brady is one of only three quarterbacks who have won four Super Bowls. If he wins today, he will stand alone with five rings. He has been named the Super Bowl's MVP three different times. three out of four different times, and he owns several Super Bowl records. This isn't including what he's already done in the regular season. We're talking about the Super Bowl. But what is interesting about Tom Brady is that he wasn't always expected to be great. When all said and done, he will go down as one of the greatest players to have ever played this game. But his draft process was a whole lot different than Matty Ice. See, Matty Ice got drafted third overall. They expected him to be great. But Tom Brady had a different story. Tom Brady wasn't drafted in the first round. He was drafted in the sixth round as the 207th overall pick. I believe there were six different quarterbacks that went before him. See, what he had inside of him, a lot of people missed. Now let me read you his scouting report. This is what the scouts said about Tom Brady, the man that has already been to six Super Bowls. Tom Brady has a poor build, very skinny and narrow. Ended the 99 season weighing 195 pounds and still looks like a rail at 211 pounds. He looks a little frail and lacks great physical stature and strength. He can get pushed down more easy than you'd like. He lacks mobility. And he lacks the ability to avoid the rush. He lacks a strong arm. Can't drive the ball down the field. Does not throw a tight spiral. He's a system type player who may make it, but will be exposed if he must ad lib and do things on his own. Good luck. This is the same man who will go down in history as one of the greatest players to ever play the game. He didn't have all the skill. He didn't have all the talent. He didn't have the athleticism 31 teams were looking for. What he had was heart, a strong work ethic, and he remained a student of the game. What am I trying to get across to you this morning? I'm trying to tell you that greatness is not given, greatness is taken. That means that you, if you have a strong work ethic, you are determined, you keep your eyes fixed on your Savior, greatness is possible. Why do I believe that? Well, the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It also tells us that what is impossible with man is possible with God. So what does that mean? That means there are no limits on what you and I can do for the Lord. Are you with me this morning? See, this morning I want to talk to you about reaching your full potential. See, that word potential speaks of what could be. How much of your God-given potential you unwrap, it really depends on a few things. See, unwrapping your full potential is dependent upon your commitment and willingness to keep growing. Someone say growing. All people who have achieved some level of greatness possess the determination to keep learning, advancing, and growing. People who pursue greatness live with a different level of intensity, passion, and they possess a spirit that they won't allow them to stay the same. See, there are some of us, the only reason we haven't tapped into greatness or our potential is because we want to stay the same. Are you with me this morning? I've heard people say, well, Pastor Eric, this is who I am. What you see is what you get. Absolutely. God says, come as you are. I don't really say that in the Bible, but people love to say that. He invites us to come as we are, but he loves us too much to keep us the same. Right. People who pursue greatness have a different level of passion and possess a spirit that won't allow them to stay the same. You want greatness, you want to reach your full potential, you got to focus on areas in your life that hold you back and make adjustments as needed. See, the Bible has a lot to say about the importance of being committed to growth. I want to give you a few scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow, someone say grow, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. We are to grow up, someone say grow up. in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Hebrews 6:1 says, so let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. See, that word growth means to increase, to advance, to mature, to stretch. And it speaks of expansion, development, and constantly escalating. Going from one place to another place with intention. Someone say intent. See, it's God's desire that we continue growing. According to Scripture, we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior. It's great to have a bunch of knowledge from the world, but I'm talking about growing in grace and in knowledge. And if there's two areas we can grow in, are in these two areas. Because to reach people that no one wants to talk to reach people that the world doesn't care about, it's going to take grace. It's going to take knowledge of who He is. It's going to take understanding of the new commandment, the one that he gave the apostles. He said, love as I have loved, and by this the world will know you are my disciples. And sometimes it ain't easy to love people the way Jesus loves them. Come on, don't look at me like that. It's easy to cut somebody off. And there's some people, they have that tendency. You're like a professional, like you just dispose of friends the minute they irritate you. Right? We hurt your feelings, and if there's offense, it's like, oh, I don't need you. I got people that have done that to me, and it kind of hurts. I'm like, man, I've invested my heart, my life, my finances. I have given countless hours, and all you can do is just walk away from me? But I'm talking about growing in grace and in knowledge of who He is. According to Scripture, it says we need to grow up in every way into the head, which is Christ. So there are multiple areas that we need to grow. And then according to Scripture, it says we need to stop going over the basics of Christianity. Listen, I applaud you for coming every Sunday, but that's not enough. For some of you, 2017 is going to be a year where you say, this year, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm not just going to be I don't know what we call them. And listen, I'm not knocking you. Keep coming. Listen, I'm presenting to you what was presented to me. And every believer comes to different intersections in their walk with God. They're going to come a place where you're like, okay, I've gone as far as I could go. This side says grow. This side says stay on the spiritual treadmill and think you are moving ahead. See, 2007 year, our theme is growth. Growth 2017. And I'm not looking to grow numerically, but I'm looking to grow in commitment. I'm looking to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm looking to grow in my affection. I'm learning to grow in my commitment to reaching the lost and hurting people of the world. Because there are some, we're committed to coming to church, but we're not committed to sharing the gospel or hope to people that are hurting all around us. I know what changed my life. Had somebody not come into my neighborhood, I don't know where I would be. I surely wouldn't have a beautiful wife, and I surely wouldn't have my two children. But thank God someone came into my neighborhood and was willing to share with a broken young man that there was new life, that I could trust in Jesus, and that in spite of what I've been through, He still loves me. Because I was pretty broken. I really didn't think that there was much to me. I really didn't think I would ever get ahead in life. But men came in and they had grace and knowledge of who Jesus was. And I seen it within them. And I said, this is real. This isn't fake. They don't do all the things. Because I grew up in a religion where people would go to church, but they'd come home and crack open that 12-pack. Come on, somebody. And it was all cool. Two or three weren't a problem. But you get Uncle Lewis and Uncle Mario in the house. Come on, somebody. And then they went 6, 7. And then somebody went to the store. Come on now. Before you knew it, people were fighting in the house. Oh, come on. That's how we grew up. And I remember they would pump fear into me about who God was. God's going to punish you. God's going to punish you if you do that. God, as a little boy, so I grew up and I was fearful of God. And I didn't get how they could go to church and act one way and then come home and live totally different. So as a young man, I didn't buy into what they were trying to sell me. Because what they were really selling me was, do as I say, don't do as I do. And that only works so long with your children. But here I was, a broken young man, and I seen people who lived out what they preached. They stood by me when I wanted to give up. They stood by me when I messed up. They didn't throw in the towel on me. They were committed to making sure that I continued growing. That's what we need if we're going to grow as a church. People that take their responsibility and ownership of the church. You know, when we look at our opening text, it's a scripture of instruction that was not only given to our ministry, but it's a scripture of instruction to stay ready and keep a mindset of expansion. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. See, the word enlarge, stretch, strengthen. Do not hold back. It speaks of growth and increase of capacity. Someone say capacity. The imagery of the scripture is one of a tent that has reached its full capacity and now needs to be expanded. And listen, I believe we're at a place within our ministry that we've hit a brick wall. Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma. We have hit, this is where we're going to stay unless we come to a place where we stretch our tent curtains wide. Now what's interesting about those words, enlarge, stretch out, that has to do with the preparation of capacity. A capacity is the minimum amount that something can contain. The following words, when it says lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, that takes work and speaks of our responsibility. Let me explain. See, this scripture was a prophecy to the Jewish people who had been held in captivity for years. Their cities were desolate, barren, unfruitful. Many of the people in Jerusalem had served other gods and had given their attention to many idols. We're living in the day and age of idols. Anything you give your time to that's more than the Lord, listen to me. You got to be careful. Anything you love with all your heart can become an idol. So here you have Jerusalem, and many of the people had fallen away from the faith. But the Jewish people were also considered the church of God in the Old Testament. And this scripture served as a prophecy, not only for the people of Jerusalem, but for the church. Many during this time had turned from the faith. So when God was saying, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, he was telling the Old Testament church, get ready for an increase because your barrenness will now become fruitfulness. And there are some of you this morning that you feel barren. In other words, you don't feel productive. Well, listen, if you prepare your mind to enlarge, to stretch, to lengthen your cords, listen, 2016, you might have been unproductive, but 2017 comes your fruitfulness. Why? Because you've already prepared your mind for expansion. This is why I'm saying we got to create space. We need to create space for leaders. We need to create space for some of you to teach the gospel. But that means we got to increase our capacity. Someone say capacity. Now is not the time to hold back. See, do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. This speaks of the work that needs to be done through us. Sometimes we come to church and we want all the great things. But the very thing that you desire, you were meant to do. Listen to me this morning. It's not a me thing. This is a we thing. This isn't my church. This is our church. Listen, if you're not happy with the children's ministry, go in there and help us fix it. If you're not happy with the worship team, listen, take voice lessons, take piano, do whatever you got to do, but come help us. If you're unhappy with the way things are, listen, get things in order so that you can step into your place and help us to go where God wants us to go. It's easy to see a crooked trench when another man is digging. It's easy to point out his flaw on the crooked line when you're not in the trench with them. But I'm talking about 2017. We need growth. We need expansion, growth in our commitment, growth in our perspective, growth in our grace. See, some of you, you're not in ministry because you don't like people. You can't be a leader and not like people. People are going to rub you the wrong way. You know, I'm excited to announce, we don't announce all these things, but I'm working with Brother Shorty to take over the usher ministry. And James, not Shorty. Shorty's his hood name. Come on, somebody. When you look at bad on the level of 1 to 10, when you got a name like Shorty and you're tall, something's wrong. But listen, Shorty's been faithful. He desires excellence. He wants to do things. And I was having an honest conversation with him. I said, listen, you're going to be tested. People aren't going to like it when they ask you, please don't drink coffee in the church. People aren't going to like you when you come and tell them, please, services. People aren't going to like you when you shut down the coffee bar 10 minutes till and you walked in at 51. Come on, somebody. But the reality is we need patience to work with people. We have disgruntled people walking into the house of God, and we can't hold them to this super spiritual high standard. They're walking in like children. We need to build tolerance. We need to work with them. We need to love them. We need to let them know, listen, it's okay. I've been there before. Hey, can I buy you something to eat after? See, the larger the tent, the stronger the stakes need to be. I love this. One commentator said this, the lengthening of the cords of the tent means the more people might be added, which makes for necessary strengthening of stakes. Why? Because they need to bear the weight of the enlarged curtains. The more numerous the church grows, the more cautious she must be to fortify herself against error and corruption. If we're going to grow, if we are going to expand, we got to go deeper. Someone say deeper. We got to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes. How do you strengthen stakes? You got to pound them deeper. We got to grow in the grace. We got to grow in knowledge. And if we're going to spread out to the right and to the left, we have to strengthen our foundation. We have to continue to take new challenges. When was the last time you took a new challenge? Listen, come to me. Say, Pastor, if you really want to grow, come to me and say, Pastor, I need a challenge. We'll give you a challenge. I used to do that to my pastor. When I finally went all in, I said, man, no more games. Because I'm an all or nothing type of guy. I mean, if I do well, I'm going to do well. If I do bad, I'm going to do bad. There is no in between. And listen, some of you got to stop walking the gray line. There is no in between for you. Some of you can't live casual. You listen to me this morning. Man, this is a discipleship type message. Some of you are looking at me crazy. Listen, the promise is if we prepare, if we lengthen our cords, strengthen our stakes, the Bible says we will stretch out to the right and to the left and dispossess nations. Now, there's a few things I need you to understand about growth. I think there's four things you need to understand about growth. Number one, growth is a choice. Someone say choice. See, a huge misconception about growth, people believe growth just happens. It's behind that mindset that says, if I just keep on keeping on, things are going to fall into place. I got bad news for you. If that's your philosophy, things don't just fall into place. Good things don't happen to good people. That's a worldly thing. We're good. I've known some very good believers, some committed believers go through some horrible things. But growth is a choice. See, there are two types of growth. There's what you call accidental growth and intentional growth. See, accidental growth waits for growth to come. Intentional growth takes responsibility for growth. Oh, for grow. My bad, typo. Depends on good luck. Intentional growth relies on hard work. Accidental plans to start tomorrow. Intentional says, I'm going to start today. Accidental quits early. Intentional preserves long and hard. Accidental falls into bad habits. Intentional creates good habits. Accidental talks real big. Intentional follows through. Accidental plays it safe. Intentional takes risks. Accidental thinks like a victim. Oh me, oh my. Intentional thinks like a learner. I know this is the hand that's been dealt to me. I'm gonna figure it out because I serve a God that is able to direct my life. Accidental relies on talent. Intentional relies on character. Accidental growth stops learning after graduation. Intentional growth never stops growing. Growth won't just happen. You got to be intentional about your growth. This is why we ask you to come out to Bible study. We've been teaching some stuff, things that you can literally apply to your life to make a big difference or adjustment to propel you into your future. But understand this, we as Christians, we need to be intentional about our growth. We can't just be victims. I don't want to learn because of my circumstance taught me and took advantage of me. Circumstances will take advantage of you if you let them. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. You must choose to mature and give up childish ways. You must choose to stop judging people and looking at what they're talking about. I know that might be happening over here. I don't care if this is their situation. You focus on the Lord. Because sometimes people, they stop coming because they don't get along with people in the church, or they don't like how people, we need leaders. Well, step up. That coffee was good this morning, boy. I love you. Look at the person next to you and say, Pastor loves us. Number two, growth takes sacrifice. Growth takes sacrifice. John Maxwell said this in his book, I believe it's like 17 Laws of Growth. It says, what will it take for you to go to the next level? Vision? Yes. Hard work? Of course. Personal growth? Absolutely. But how about letting go of some things that you love and value most? Yes. And believe it or not, this is the thing that holds people back, even those who have achieved some level of success. See, the truth about growth is this. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it will cost us time, effort, self-denial, and even love. You look at the most successful people in the world. They sacrifice to get to where they are today. They put in work. Someone say, put in work. People are always anxious to improve their circumstances, but sometimes are unwilling to pay the price and improve themselves. And as a result, they are usually bound to their present circumstance. Don't be bound to your circumstance. Be willing to grow. Someone say grow. John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. The NIV says it, he must become greater and I must become less. The problem is sometimes we want to be more and we want to do less. God, I need you to do more, but I'm not willing to give more. God, I need you to come through financially, but you don't tithe. I could go there, but I'm not going to go there. I need you, God, to heal my body, then take care of your body. Come on, somebody. I need you, God, to save my family, then be an example. In order for him to increase, we must decrease. In order for him to become greater, we must be willing to sacrifice. Things like our perspective. Not all of our perspectives are in alignment with God. What about sacrificing our will? God, I will to do this, but your will is greater. What about our pride? What about sacrificing our pride? Learning to say, I'm sorry. If we just learn to say, I'm sorry, our relationships would go to a whole nother level. The more we let go, the more God will grow us in our faith. If you are called to be a preacher, prioritize your time to study the Word of God. If you're called to be a leader, live a life that is worthy of following. If you're called to be a teacher, listen, be a model. Do what you teach. And we're all called to be teachers. If you're a parent this morning, by default, you fall into this category. You got to teach your child the ways of the Lord, because when they grow old, they will not turn from it if we taught them correctly. When you think of great athletes in the world, they're all people of sacrifice. When you think of names like Michael Jordan, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, Deion Primetime Sanders, Kobe Bryant, these are names who have dominated their sport throughout their careers. To the crowds, they are known for their physical talents and highlight reels. But to their coaches and teammates, they are known for their work ethic, their determination, and their ability to continue learning. They remain students of the game. That's why they stayed at the top of their game. See, you can rely on your talent. Your talent will get you to the top, but character is going to keep you there. What am I saying? Growth takes sacrifice. Number three, growth is most evident through change. When you set a goal, there needs to be a benchmark. There needs to be something that you measure it by. If you can't just say, God, in 2018, I want to be a leader. Well, what does that look like? What are the bits and pieces? God, in 2018, I want to work on areas of my character. That's getting a little deeper. God, in 2018, I want to give this up. In 2017, I want to take on a few different challenges. When we are in a place or season of growth, there are things that change within us. Our perspectives change. Sometimes the way we present ourselves change. The way we speak changes. Our priorities change. Our levels of commitment change. We grow in patience. Growth is most evident through change. Why do I say that? I knew I was changing because I always had to have the last word. Anybody like that in the room? Right? When I was a disciple, I'm still a disciple, and I still kind of have this, and I always get corrected. But my pastor would tell me something, and I'd come back with an answer. And then, why do you always got to listen? Why do you always have to say something back? No, I don't. There you go. Or they'd correct me. The scripture says, right, do not do this. Oh, yeah. And the scripture right after says this. He said, brother, stop. Just listen to what I'm telling you. I knew I was growing when I got rebuked. And I remember one of the pastors, I had already been preaching in the church. And I had said something like I was like 23 years old. And I remember saying, you know why this church isn't growing? Because there's not enough men behind Pastor Steve. I'm a 23-year-old kid. I got men that have been in that church for 20-plus years. And here is this whippersnapper. I've only been serving the Lord for 3 years. You ain't been through what I've been through. And now you're going to come and tell me I'm not behind Pastor Steve. And I remember that the church went crazy. Rah, yeah, right? So right after, I'm feeling good. I'm like, man, the Lord moved. Come on now. And I remember Pastor Adam, who you guys will meet this year. I'm going to bring him in. He pulled me aside. He said, hey, bro, can I talk to you real quick? I said, yeah, how you doing? And he said, hey, man, good message. But I need to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, you need to be careful to not speak from a place that you're not at. I looked at him and I was like, what? He said, listen, you ain't been to where we've been to. You ain't been knocked down off your high horse yet. You haven't fallen in sin. You haven't fallen and got back up. You haven't even went through these trials yet. So before you start talking to men who have sons and daughters older than you, be very careful that when you preach, you don't call them out, because some of these men have been through some things. Now, I'm going to tell you but first of all, I didn't know Pastor Adam. And I was like, inside of me, I wanted to say something. But I remember taking it like a man. I said, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. And I meant it. God was changing me. Had I not reached that conflict and responded that way, I probably wouldn't have seen the change. That's why I say growth is most evident through. You might not feel like you're changing, but listen to me. I got to encourage you, because some of you, if I would show you a picture of what you looked like 2 years ago, from today, you're doing a whole lot better. I know you might not feel it, but I got good news for you. Your countenance has changed. You're faithful now. You're learning to. Some of you could have walked away through some of the things you've been through, but you're still standing. That way you got. Come on, give yourselves a hand of praise. Now give him a louder. I'm going to be ending real soon. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you by changing the person you are, by changing the way that you think. The New Living Translation. God has a way of moving us into specific situations to ensure we continue growing. We see all throughout the Word. We see this all throughout the Word with different Bible leaders. In Deuteronomy 1, 6, and 7, the Bible says, the Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites. See, God's people had already left Egypt. They were no longer slaves, and they had come to Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb was a place where they met God. It was a place where God would speak to them. And right when they got comfortable, he said, you have been at this mountain long enough. Pick up and go to the mountains of the Amorites. See, now the difference was the mountains of the Amorites, they would need faith in God because the Amorites were their enemies. God will sometimes change our situation to produce growth within us. God will always bring new challenges. Challenges that will challenge your perspective, your will to keep going forward, and growth. Listen, for us, this is the challenge. It's not easy having our own building. Moving back a half hour, that's a challenge. I personally don't want to have service at 12 o'clock. I wish we can have service at 10 o'clock. I really do. God knows my heart. I want a building. And I hear about different pastors. And they tell me, man, God just, somebody came and bought us the building. And in my mind, I'm like, who are you kicking it with? That stuff don't happen. I'm sitting here just being faithful. But I trust my maker. I trust the process. I can tell you this. Not having a building has grown me as a pastor. I've had to be creative. I've had to learn to have joy when hope is lost. I've had to learn to stand my ground when your vision is finally coming to pass, but then it literally burns down. And I ask myself, would I do it again? I would. I've learned about my Maker in such an intimate way these past 6 months, greater than I think I've ever known Him. I could have shut down. Some of you could have shut down. But I thank you for standing tall. We're in this together. Which brings me to my last point, number 4. Growth takes consistency. See, motivation will get you going, but discipline and discipleship will keep you growing. How do you stay consistent in anything? You gotta remain focused. You gotta set goals. When we set goals, it's easier to remain focused. But without a target, we're swinging aimlessly. Some people are consistent all over the place, but because they have no plan, they're running on what I like to call a spiritual treadmill, never really going anywhere. I posted something the other day. I say there's a difference between activity and productivity. In other words, just because you're active and doing something doesn't mean you're being productive. 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, the Apostle Paul says, do you not know that the race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last, but we do it that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike blows to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. It takes strict training. It takes focus. It takes discipline. It takes a commitment to growth. And lastly, 2 Corinthians 13:5, and this really touched me. Examine yourselves to see whether you where you are in the faith, or whether you are in the faith. My question to you is this: where are you in the faith? Where do you want to be? I came this morning to tell you that greatness is attainable. What is impossible with man, what man said couldn't be done, can be done through Christ. And this morning, I simply want to encourage you, greatness and potential can be fulfilled if you are determined, stay focused, and are committed to growth. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning.